I revisited a prison in Dombes, France, which is near Rennes-le-Château, where Templar nobles or initiates were imprisoned after the arrest of their Grand Master Jacques de Molay in 1307. And this prison is covered with some of the most amazing graffiti you've ever seen. I mean, these guys viewed themselves as the last Templars. They believed they were it. And so they actually used their rotten teeth, teeth that had rotted out of their mouth, to etch their secret teachings on the walls of this prison for perpetuity. One of the key images there is of a pregnant Mary Magdalene at the crucifixion holding a magic wand or rod in her hand. And so that is a definitely a key belief of those who uphold this parallel tradition, that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married, that there was a secret teaching that has been suppressed, and that by recovering that secret teaching, presumably we'll be able to recover ultimate secrets about ourselves.
Well, and I like that idea that that wand piece that you refer to in one of your DVDs at great length, and you show pictures of, I assume something like that's also on your website, because that is something that, I mean, it does seem very Egyptian. It seems sort of classical, but in the first couple of centuries of Christian iconography, Jesus is seen performing particular miracles holding a wand.
Right.
And I guess it never really occurred to me. It looked like a staff or a stick, mm-hmm. but I didn't really think of it as a wand. But certainly the way it's portrayed, the magic appears to be happening at the end of the stick.
Absolutely. And in one particular image that's actually in the Vatican Museum, Jesus is kind of conking Lazarus in the cave right on his crown chakra, right on the third eye, as if to say, hey, wake up, wake up. And in that same depiction, you can almost view him as like a symphony conductor. I mean, some people take the Holy Grail to be a tuner, a vibration, including me. And so if you think of the grail as a song grail, then he is a conductor of this life force energy, this key of life, as the ancient Egyptians called it. And what he's doing is using this rod or wand as a conductive force, a baton, if you will, to awaken Lazarus, rather, just like the ancient Egyptian god of divine magic Thoth raised Osiris using a similar ankh or key of life. It's really incredible to think that maybe they were drawing upon not just an ancient Egyptian belief system, but also a profound spiritual technology that has been lost. And it's really funny, isn't it, Ian, the way Harry Potter has suddenly come on so strong on our planet in the past 10 years, and his key icon or image is that magic wand.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I don't know that the idea of the magic wand or Harry Potter has ever really left our popular psyche. I think it's part of, I mean, because just as you said, whether it's Harry Potter or whether it's a magician with a top hat and a rabbit, mm-hmm. I mean, wands are always sort of there. I mean, hardly a kid ever in the history of kiddom grew up without picking up a stick off the ground and pretending it was a magic wand,
right.
Long before the popularity of Harry Potter. What intrigued me about the work you did was that you were drawing these direct comparisons to this ancient Egyptian imagery of a wand, and almost sort of like line for line in some of these early Christian portrayals and in these hieroglyphic images, you can see somebody using that same stick in the exact same way that Jesus is shown to be using it, which speaks to, it seems to me, the mystery cults.
Right.
And that these mystery cults that had sort of appropriated the Jesus story into their pre-existing cult just simply transferred a lot of the image or the visual imagery of the Egyptian gods and goddesses to this new, you know, Christian paradigm.
Well, they didn't know what to do. There was a prohibition against depicting the way, which is what Christ was thought of. You couldn't show, that's idolatry to show a person. And so admittedly, for several centuries, there was, was he clean shaven? Did he have short hair? Did he have long hair? Did he have a beard? All of these kinds of things. Did he have a magic wand? I kind of take the opposite view, though, Ian. I think that what happened is you're not dealing with cults, mystery cults. You're dealing with mystery schools, Sure. There's a big difference.
Sure. No, no. I would go along with schools. Okay. Cults is just what they're called typically. But yeah, the mystery schools. Okay.
And they're drawing upon this ancient imagery and this ancient knowledge. And what happened is, it appears, is that when the Jesus story is being written, they edit. They selectively edit some of perhaps the original revelation out. And that's kind of what my research is beginning to focus on, is, okay, if they were this incredible mystery school who had access to the Library of Alexandria and the working temples of Egypt, of Iran and Iraq and of India, what was it that they were looking for? And what I've been learning is that what they were looking for was the secret of what is referred to in the Bible as metamorphosis. Transfiguration. They seem to know that this human body is sort of in a pupil form, and that our ultimate existence is going to be in more of a butterfly type form, where we're ascended beings of light, free to travel the galaxy. And they left books of symbols that will enable us to more deeply absorb that teaching within our being, so that we can in fact become these transfigured or metamorphosed beings.